So being a messenger of peace, my aim, my goal should only be that I want to give everyone I meet an experience of my Father. And you are all now very experienced. And I am sure that in Vietnam, this is what you are doing. Because like everywhere in the world, Vietnam's soil also needs your presence, your love, your vision of purity and compassion. And that is why Baba calls us the angels of love and mercy. And each one of you has this duty, a duty that is given specially only to you, not to the politicians, not to any rich people in your country, not to anyone in a high position in your country, but to you. God has chosen you individually because you all have unique qualities. And it is those qualities that we have to use. It is not just a center sister. Any one of you stay in a center? You stay in a center. Okay. Right. It is not just the duty of the center sister to look after the country and say that, okay, I have to do this much yoga, I have to do that. No. Each individual person has to take that responsibility. How many of you have come for the first time? One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay. Are you all happy? Yes? Content? What is the difference between contentment and happiness? What is the difference? Can anyone tell me? You can speak in Vietnamese and sister will translate. What is the difference between being content and happy? Happiness comes when you are content. Because when you are content here, then the vibrations spread through you. I have everything I need. There is nothing I want. Remember, God gives us all that we need, not what we want. He does not give us what we want. We want everything. Huh? But God says, no, I will give you what you need. And I'm sure that you have felt at certain times that, why do I have so many tests? Why do I have so many challenges? I have so many challenges and so many tests because my Father wants to see me perfect. And it is only through traveling through those tests and giving exam papers that we become what the Father wants us to become. And no matter how many years you have been in knowledge, still we will go up, down, up, down. Right, Nancy? We all do that. Do you think Daddy Janki does not have any test papers? Do you think that because she is Daddy, nothing comes her way? Everything is perfect. No. Nothing is perfect. Because at the end of this kalpa, we have to clear everything. All rubbish that is here, we have to clean everything. Sure, Daddy Janki has done a lot of effort. She sits on the heart throne of Baba. But challenges come through the body or through someone. Someone who wants to be the examiner, who will say, let me give her a test paper today. You would be surprised exactly what each one of us has to go through. But it is each individual soul's journey. It is not that I have been in knowledge 20, 30, 50, 60 years. I am perfect. No. My journey is ongoing. And at different places on the journey, I will encounter various side scenes. Don't call them problems. Okay? Because when it is a problem, we become worried. But if it is a side scene, okay, but I've seen this side scene. It has come. I will look at it. Let me walk on. I don't want to stop. When we stop at the side scene, then my feet get stuck. And they don't move forward. So on this soul's journey, we all of us here, we all encounter different side scenes. Am I going too fast or is it okay? Okay. So today, I am going to share with you my journey. That a journey that has been very beautiful, very loving, and a journey where Baba has shown a lot of love. And that is what I treasure. I do not treasure what materialistic thing do I have. For today, in my name, I have nothing. Whatever I had, on surrendering, I gave everything to Baba. The house, the car, the money, everything, the clothes. So then, I have nothing. And when I have nothing that is materialistic, I have no worries. I become totally free. Today my mind does not have any waste thought. Oh, I wish I had this. Oh, I wish I had this. I wish I had this. Nothing. What Baba wants to give, He will send. He will give. through someone, something he will give. I don't have to ask for anything. I'm going to be leaving in 1 day's time. And last night at 10 o'clock, when she should have been sleeping, Daddy Janki phones me up and she says, "Usha, do you need anything? Huh? Do you have enough money? Do you have enough this, that? What do you need?" I said, "Daddy, Baba has given me everything. I don't need anything." Huh? So, when I keep something, my thoughts are in that something. But when I give and forget, then I forget. If you give something to the center, don't keep thinking, "I have given this, I have given this, I have given that." No. Remember, in Sangam Yuga, we are given the opportunity to create our destiny for the whole Kalpa. We are given that opportunity. Nobody else is given that opportunity. Only we are. So if I want to create my destiny, then I have to work on it now. The sister who is sitting next to me, she will become a king in this golden age. Many of you will become kings. Right? But how do we become kings? It is through knowledge and yoga. If I give whatever I have here, whatever treasures I give, if I share, then Baba will make sure that whatever you have given, I will give you back 1 million times more than what you have given me. So on my journey, it has been filled with different experiences, because I have always felt that life is a brilliant teacher. And when life is a brilliant teacher, then we are open to all experiences. We have no barriers to say, "No, you can't come in." That's right. My journey began when I was 18 years old. And I suddenly had an experience whilst doing my bhakti. I was born into a Hindu family, very religious. So I also developed a lot of love for religion. And my father had taught me that God is one, there are many religions, and we must love all religions. So I believed whatever my father would tell me. So I believed him and I began to study all religions. But because he had said that God is only one, I didn't find that God in any of the religions. So my personal journey began. And it was quite an interesting and exciting journey filled with many, many beautiful experiences. Until 18 years ago, when suddenly someone said, "Please go to Brahma Kumaris and do this course." I said, no. I don't want to go to Brahma Kumaris. They are an organization and too many rules, regulation, brainwashing. no, I don't want to go to Brahma Kumaris. So I didn't go immediately. But then after a few days, I received a phone call, because I think those people must have phoned them to phone me. And they said, "Sister, please come, just to have a look." So I thought, okay, everybody is going to so much trouble for me, let me give this thing one chance. I will go. And I went. I did the 7-day course, but I had read a lot of what was already told, and I wasn't interested. So I said, "Thank you, it was very interesting, I loved it, but I will come when I can." Huh? So I didn't sort of take that much interest. Then on, it was about 1 week later, it was 18th of January. And you know that in centers we have big, it's a big day of silence and then lots of love. So Sudesh Didi had come to the center and they called me and I said, no, sister, I'm very busy today, I can't come. And they said, "No, please do come, you will find it very special." So I went, and then Sudesh Didi gave her lecture, then the Toli, and I thought, I want to go home. And I was sitting there thinking, I want to go home, where is that sister so that I can say bye-bye to her? And I couldn't find her, and I was just sitting there. Now, before that, the 18th of January, for 10 months or 9 months, I had been going through, shall I say, karmic account, settling karmic account. And it was a very big deal in my life. And so I was very burdened in my mind, feeling very heavy, very worried. I had a very good job, but I couldn't pay that 100% attention. So it was affecting me mentally, emotionally, physically. In every way I was affected. And then suddenly I had an experience sitting in the chair. I saw with my eyes, I am not calling it a vision because I don't know if it was a vision or not, but I saw a hand up to here. I saw a hand go in here and just sort of go like that and come out like this. And in the hand was a grey cloud. Cloud, like, you know, when it is going to rain, a cloud was there, and suddenly I felt very light. So light, I cannot put it into words. How light I felt, my mind and everything. My body, I just felt light. And I thought, somebody has done something here. And when I had seen that hand just for one, it was only perhaps 1-2 seconds. Obviously that was a little worrying, that what was that I saw? And I thought, these people here are practicing some kind of black magic. And so I still could not see that sister to say goodbye, because I wanted to run. But I began to feel so nice inside, just light. I said to the sister sitting next to me, "The sister, I understand you have a private meditation room here. I didn't know it was called Baba's room, but I knew that they did meditation up there. Please, can I go and sit there? So she said, yes, of course. She showed me the way, and I looked into the room, nobody there. I closed the door, and I saw the translite, Baba's translite. And I thought, oh no, there is a guru here that these Brahma Kumaris have. And I don't want to have a guru again. Because I had one experience, and it was a very, very bad experience with a guru. So I was really disappointed that the Brahma Kumaris also have a guru. But something in my heart, because I was feeling light, I went up to that translite and I said, I sat down. It was as if I was being pulled. My mind said, no, 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 go down, go away from here. But something pulled me and I sat down in front of the translite, and suddenly I just felt very light and emotional, and I said, I don't know your name, Guruji, but whoever you are, I think you did the magic downstairs. And something that you are doing right now is making me sit here in front of you. But I know all of these things that gurus do, so no magic is going to work on me. Then without thinking, because of how light I was feeling, you know how Baba sits cross-legged with his hands like that? Because there was no one else in the room, I could do what I like. So I put my hand on his hand and I said, whoever you are, please don't let go of my hand. I am in trouble right now and I need you. And suddenly I heard a sound I heard with my ears, not in my mind, not a touching, where you hear the voice in here. This was a voice that I heard with my ears. And the voice said, child, since when have I not held your hand? And I quickly jumped up and I looked into the room that there must be someone behind me. And there was no one. So I looked behind the translite in case somebody was hiding there. There was nobody behind the translite either. So I thought, I don't know what is happening to me. First the hand downstairs and now this voice. I don't know what is happening. But thank you very much. I am going. So I quickly opened the door, and as I was about to go down the steps, again in my mind some change happened. And I suddenly felt I had come home. I was still standing on that first step and I just stopped because I felt I had come home. From the age of 18 to the age of 44, I was on this journey to find God. And it had been a long journey. As I said, filled with many beautiful experiences, some beautiful, some not so beautiful. But nevertheless, It had been my journey, a journey that I was content with and I was happy with. But in that change of knowing that I had come home, in that one second, because that's all it took, standing on that first step, that realization, the child, you have come home. And that's it. As I went down the stairs, there was a sister who had been looking for, suddenly she was there. And I said, I've been looking for you all this time. And she said, oh, I was busy. I said, okay, sister, when is Amrit Vela? Tomorrow. I know you all meet here in the morning. And that's it. From that day onwards, I started to be with Baba. And since then, many experiences, many filled with Baba's love. Because you know, Baba always gives us just what we require and what we need. I met Daddy after that. I had been in knowledge 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks perhaps. I met Daddy Janki. I went to see her in London and she said, you must surrender. No, thank you. I said, no, I have a daughter, I don't want to surrender. And she said, but you must. I said, no, Daddy, I'm sorry. My daughter comes first. And she said, you bring your daughter. I said, no. Why should I restrict my daughter's growth by living in a center when we have to give so much restrictions and we have so many duties to do? I would not be able to pay attention to her. So I said, no. She did not like that. And when Daddy doesn't like something, believe me, she will not speak to you for quite a while. So after that, Daddy didn't speak to me for a long time. She said that she's wasting her time, she should surrender, and I said, no way. So for a few years, 3-4 years, I went regularly to my center, and straight away they had put me in to do service. So I was working full time and also doing service wherever I could, giving courses, etc. But just talking about surrendering, it just so happened that 4 years later, my daughter surrendered first. See, Daddy got her. And then Daddy said to her, she surrendered here in Madhuban. Daddy Prakashmani was here then, alive. So Daddy did the ceremony, the two daddies. And when she surrendered, Daddy Janki said, okay, now will you surrender? And I said, no, not today. So I surrendered 3 months later. And since then, also living in centers, I had had no experience of living in a center. It was first time, but Daddy just put me in charge of a center. And I had had no experience whatsoever. But it was, you know, when I went, I did not feel I had no experience. I felt I have done this before. When I had done it, I had no remembrance. But I felt I have done all this before. I just do it. And from my daughter then began to live in London. That is where Daddy put her for service. And I was about 200 miles, 100 miles, 150 miles away from her. But that was after that. Then Daddy also sent me to a few centers, to set up centers in a few countries in Europe, around Europe. And then I spent a few years in West Africa and also a few months in Scotland, where this sister is from and where I met this very beautiful soul. And then after those 6 months in Scotland, Daddy asked me to go to Pakistan, to serve in Pakistan. So I have been there for 3 years. Now, as you all know, just like your country went through a very bad phase, Pakistan also, in the eyes of the Western world, or perhaps the whole world, Pakistan is also going through a few difficulties, a few side scenes. And what we have to do is to remain stable in our stage. If I worry, oh, what was that noise? Oh, it was just a bomb. Never mind. Right? Oh, what was that noise? Firecrackers? No, silly. Not firecrackers. That was guns going off. So, once you get used to that, there is no worry in your mind. Because you know that whatever Baba is doing, whatever scenes, drama shows you, it is all meant to be. Service there is beautiful, but it is a little difficult in the sense, not difficult as in, oh, how will we do this? Nothing like that. There is no fear. But people are not as open as they are, I find, in different parts of the world. People coming from the Islamic culture. Do you have Islamic culture in Vietnam? Do you have many Muslims? A few? You do. Then you will know that the one very special thing, beautiful thing about Muslims is that they are very devoted to their religion, to what they believe in. Just like Baba teaches us that one Baba, no one else, none other than Baba, right? Muslims also, only Allah and no one else. That is a very beautiful quality. Otherwise, whatever else qualities that every religion manifests, it is all man-made. Manifest means to they believe in or they act by. So, they obviously we cannot be there in our name of Brahma Kumaris. Because the one thing that the government doesn't like is other religions coming in to spread religion, to spread their religion. Because they do not want any Muslim person to be converted or to change their way of thinking. And if they ever feel that you are doing something like this, sometimes they can get as angry as the death penalty. Sometimes if you are lucky, jail is what you get. But otherwise, it's the death penalty. I am okay because I have a British passport. But the others who serve with me, they are Muslims. Well, of a Muslim background. And therefore, they will not be seen with kindness. they will be seen that as a traitor, that you have betrayed your religion, or you are forcing other people. And therefore, we are just cautious, that's all, in how we give our courses. When we give the Raja Yoga course, it is only giving the soul, that also not in too deep, God and the eight powers. That is all we do. A little bit of karma, perhaps, but nothing else. And we only then publicize, not publicize as in leaflets, because all service, all service is done through word of mouth. We cannot give leaflets, otherwise others will find out. You don't know who is walking through the front door, which government person is coming under what kind of, spying or investigation. Sometimes they will investigate straight on. But we have had a few investigations, especially when Daddy Janki came. They came and said, "Who is this?" They followed us. We had about 5 cars going to Hyderabad. You know, Daddy wanted to see where she lived, where Baba lived, and all the old memories. But Daddy was very disappointed because obviously all those places had changed and they had become a part of some gang rivalry area. But a house where the young sisters lived, the very first boarding school called Om Nivas, it still has the Om sign on top of the building. Otherwise, the whole building has been a little changed to make them flats, converted to flats. But they were very kind to let us go inside and just feel. But Daddy didn't want to go inside. Daddy just felt this is not how it was. So you can imagine what it must have been like when she was there, that on seeing it, she felt heartbroken. So then after that, we did not go to see any other buildings. Only one school where Daddy Prakashmani, Daddy Didi Manmohini and Mamma, many of those sisters, they all went to this school. We went to see that school. Daddy Janki went to another school, but those sisters went to that school, and Daddy then felt a little lighter, a little happier, that yes, I can feel the vibrations here, that they must have played and grown up in this school. And then, sorry. But then, you know, in the yajna, Baba stayed with the sisters in Hyderabad for 2 years, 1936 to 1938. Then in 1938, they all moved to Karachi, where they stayed for 12 years. 1950, they all moved to India. In Karachi, they bought 6 properties, perhaps more, but on counting, they say that they had bought 6 properties. 2 of those properties are still as they stand. They are still there. in beautiful condition the house where Brahma Baba lived with his family, that is still there, very beautiful. But of course it has been taken over by generations of Muslim families. And the school, Kunj Bhavan, where Mamma, Daddy Prakashmani all lived, and that is where Daddy Gulzar also grew up. They all grew up in that boarding school, Kunj Bhavan. That is also exactly as it was. No renovation, nothing. The building was made so strong that it is still in that condition. And Daddy, on going inside, we had permission to go inside the school. She became a different person. She remembered stories of 1938 to 1950, and we all sat down in the grounds, and Gentiben translated, and Daddy told many, many stories. But so many things came back. This is where Brahma Baba would stand. This is where the sisters would sit for their classes. They had no formal teachers. Whoever was in the higher class would teach the ones in the lower class. Right? So Daddy Prakashmani would teach all the little ones. And Mama was in charge of everybody. But Daddy Chandramani and Ishu Daddy, they were all growing up there. So being in a country where Baba started this journey, being in a country where perhaps God came for the first time, definitely for the Yajna, it's a land filled with history and divinity. So how can we think of that land negatively? We cannot think of it negatively because Baba says that at the end of this Sangam Yuga, all countries are going to perish. All countries are going to be in trouble, not just one country. So wherever we are, we learn to serve with love and mercy. Because as I said in the beginning, that who are you all? Angels of love and mercy. And it is with that love, with that mercy in our hearts, that we serve the people of that country and in the name of God. Yes? And I know when you go back to your country, you will continue to serve with those words. Never fear anything or whatever situations happen, because whatever is meant to happen, it was meant to happen. Right? Nothing new. Baba says it happened a kalp ago as well. So there is nothing new. Yeah? Okay. Om Shanti.